Good morning. We've got some good news to start off with. Abby Beeson, who is sitting, as we say, over here in left field, is placing membership with us today. We're super excited about that. Abby's been attending with us for quite a while now. She lives in Northern Kentucky, works for the Reds, and so super excited that she's decided to formally place her membership with us. And so let's welcome her together. All right, welcome, Abby. This morning, we are continuing in our third part of a four-part series on giving. And I know we got a lot of people visiting with us. I said this last week. I want to say this again, that this is a conversation largely, this series is largely built for the people who are members who have decided to commit themselves to be a part of what's going on here at Northeast. And so we realize you're here. And we welcome you to this conversation, glad you're here, but also want to preface that, as we don't want you to feel awkward as we talk about some of these subjects, such as generosity and giving. And through the series, what we've been establishing is that the best way to live is to live a generous life. We see that modeled by God and by Jesus. But I got to be honest with you this morning, is that this was a series that came back and or started back in 2022 with the conversation in which I went to our other leaders and I asked, what are some topics that we need to think about in the upcoming year? And this was brought forward as a subject that we needed to think about, is to think about generosity, to think about giving. Not because we don't already do that well, but because it's a topic that we need to think about and need to think about seriously as disciples of Jesus. And if I'm honest with you, it was a topic I didn't want to talk about. Are you surprised? No. But it's one that I was sort of uncomfortable with talking about. And part of the reason was that I had some fear in me of, one, making our guests uncomfortable as we talk about giving. But then, two, also just making our members uncomfortable as we have this conversation. And I don't know why, but that was in me. But so far in this series, I've received basically all positive feedback, where the disciples here at Northeast have enjoyed being challenged to think about these texts that we've been looking at together as we think about the idea of giving. But I'm not so naive to think that I have not made some people uncomfortable as we've talked about this challenging topic. And I don't know why it's challenging. I want to come to that in just a moment. Right, and I thought about many ways in preparation of this series. I thought about many ways to talk about this subject to make it as most uncomfortable or most comfortable as I could. How do you say that? But to make it comfortable, to make it not awkward, and I'm doing a terrible job of that right now. But how to talk about this subject well and to make it so people don't feel uncomfortable. And as we've gotten 2 weeks into this series, I've realized now that that's impossible. But what I've also come to realize in so far in this series is that maybe that's not all a bad thing, to be uncomfortable from time to time. Is that in the face of healthy truth, it's good for us at times to feel uncomfortable as we think about issues such as giving and generosity. It's that it's when we are most uncomfortable that sometimes we experience the most growth. And I found that to be true in my own walk with Jesus. I hope you found that to be true with your walk with Jesus as well. And so some view this topic of giving as kind of the standalone topic that, you know, Jesus doesn't get to get into. You know, he can have my life, he can have my time, he can have my service, but he needs to stay out of my finances. And maybe I understand some people's reservations. Perhaps, you know, they've had a bad taste with churches talking about giving, or perhaps they've seen finances abused by churches. But what we see in the New Testament is that healthy churches talk about giving. Healthy churches talk about finances. How many texts have we looked at so far in this series where Paul was talking about generosity? He was talking about finances. And so it's good for us to talk about. Since I've begun here at Northeast, we have spent a lot of our time in preaching in our sermon series on the topic of discipleship and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, and looking at that at a basic but hopefully a deep level, and at the same time looking at what does it mean to be a disciple, a part of a community, which we call the church, What's it mean to be a part of the church, which we believe, as we defined in past series and even in this series, as the gathering of the kingdom of God here on earth? What does it mean? What does it mean for us as a church to be God's people here on this earth? And as the people of God on this earth, we have responsibilities. We have tasks that we're charged with. And we are, instead of giving kind of being this topic on its own, right, we are called to be the people of God now. And that's not something that we at Northeast have been pushing, per se. Is that as we talk about this giving topic, we're not raising money for a building expansion. We're not doing some type of capital campaign. We're not going to, this service is not going to end with us passing the plate with an emotional appeal to give. That's not why we're doing this series. We're doing this series because as the people of God on earth, we believe that we are challenged to give and to give generously. We believe that we give to the church, as we talked about last week in the collection of the church. We believe that we are also to give to individuals in our own individual lives at home when we see that they have need. And so if we're not giving this big push for giving right now, then why are we talking about it? It's because we do believe that God tasks us with this responsibility of being generous. We believe that the core of God's heart is generosity, that we see in the ways that he blessed us and he takes care of us. We see generosity at the core of who Jesus was, as we've established throughout the series so far, is that we see Jesus teaching generosity and we see him modeling generosity. And so we believe we should as well. As we believe that it's something that we don't actually talk a lot about here in our specific context at Northeast, and something that is important for us to talk about, since we don't always talk about it all the time, but something we need to on a regular basis to remind us the importance of generosity and giving, and that the importance that plays in our life and the essential nature of it for our growth as healthy disciples and as a healthy church. And so I can't help but wondering then, why is this an uncomfortable conversation? Why was I uncomfortable in speaking about it? And like I said, I think for a number of reasons. We've seen churches handle money poorly, or we've seen churches push it too often where we feel like all they want is our money, whatever the reason is. But at the same time, healthy churches, we see in the New Testament, they talk about these things. And so why are we uncomfortable? And so I wonder if part of the reason we're uncomfortable in talking about this is because we in American society live in an uncomfortable way. The Ramsey Company, Dave Ramsey and his company, they did research throughout the year of 2022. They do this every year, State of Finance in America. And they find a number of really surprising statistics. They say that 52% of Americans, and of course this is general, this is the people that have filled out their surveys, and I believe they've done so in accordance with statistics and getting a pool of people. But they say 52% of Americans claim to live paycheck to paycheck, 52%. And even 30%, 34% of those who make a six-figure income also live paycheck to paycheck. So it has nothing to do with income. You have this trend of living paycheck to paycheck. They found that 51% of Americans claim to have less than $1,000 in emergency savings in case an emergency comes up. 51%. And then 34% of those claim to have $0 in case of an emergency. 54, and also when we look at this, it goes far bigger than just our wallets and our bank accounts and how we go about paying bills. It also, we see, based on statistics, that it affects our state of mind, and it, of course, affects our soul and how we live as people who are to live the abundant life. They have found that 54% of Americans claim that they feel like they are, quote-unquote, barely treading water, and they can't get ahead with their finances. And then another 54% of Americans claim that they worry daily about their financial situation. And then 41% of Americans claim to have lost sleep in the previous 3 months due to money troubles. And so, yes, this is a spiritual conversation, because it affects spirituality. We don't have our life and then we have our finances. That the two are intertwined and Jesus has something to say about both. And so this is the bad news that I've shared so far. But the good news is that Jesus provides us a better way. So this morning, as we jump into this topic of living and giving with margin, let's open up our text here and challenge this American way of living without a margin. And look at the way in which Jesus has modeled a better way to live. First of all, as we've established in this series already, right, Jesus freely gave of himself to others. He modeled generosity in the way that he gave of himself, in the way that he met the needs of other people, and in the way we saw how he treated other people. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 24, as he has just challenged people to lay down their cross and to follow him, he says this: "For whoever wants to save their life, whoever wants to hold on to it, to bring it for themselves, to secure it for themselves, will ultimately lose it. Whoever loses their life for me will save it." Now that has a lot to do with a lot of areas of our life. In the areas that we try to hold things for ourselves, we try to build a life for ourselves. But in reality, Jesus says, no, you live a life in which you give it away to others. Jesus taught this. As William Barclay wrote on this passage, he says, "The Christian must realize that he is given life not to keep it for himself, but to spend it for others." And that relates to all areas of our time, talents, and treasures. Is that we are called to not hold our own resources, whether that be our time, finances, or energy, not to hold it for ourselves, to give ourselves a better life, but that we want to sacrifice that and give it to others. Jesus not only taught this, but of course Jesus modeled this with the way he lived his life and the way that he ended his life. When you look at John chapter 10 and verse 18, Jesus, as he talks about going to the cross in which he gave his life, he says this, he says, "No one can take my life from me." It's his. He says, "But I sacrifice it voluntarily, for I have the authority to lay it down when I want to, and also to take it up again." Now, what we see in this passage is that although Jesus freely gave himself, and he did it voluntarily, and actually, we're going to go to the next passage, but so Jesus sacrificially gave of himself freely. He did it voluntarily. We see that in the way that he taught, in the way that he modeled his life, in the way that he modeled his death. But at the same time, and that's really what we've established in the series so far, but at the same time, Jesus lived and gave with healthy boundaries. And I think this is something that we don't think about a whole lot, and how Jesus spent his time, how he spent his resources, and how he spent his energy. For instance, in Luke chapter 5 and verse 15, the text says, "The news about him," Jesus, "spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sickness." Sometimes we think of Jesus as just the crucified Jesus in which all people have forsaken him, his disciples have forsaken him, and he's there on the cross alone with very few people with him. But for the majority of Jesus' ministry, he actually had crowds of people gathering to him, coming to him, wanting things from him. They found out he's a healer. They'd come to be healed. They found out, you know, he could feed the 5,000. He can miraculously feed people. People came for that too. People were just gathering around him. And he was pressed from every side, right? He was pressed from the time side. He was pressed from how he used his energy as well. And I think we can understand that because as we look at our American way of dealing with time, energy, and finances, as we've pointed out already, it feels like we're being pulled from every side, right? We live in the most technologically advanced time that we have ever lived, but at the same time, we feel busier than we should ever live, right? When they talked about all the technological advances that were going to happen in the future, back in the 50s and 60s, they're going to say, you know, they were kind of thinking, we're going to have all these conveniences, we're going to have all this time. But what's happened? We have all the conveniences, we have all the technology, but if you ask people, how are you doing today? Well, I'm busy. Or what are you doing today? I'm busy, right? We're busier than we've ever been. And we live in this unique time where we claim to be busier than we've ever been, but statistically, we waste more time on social media and television than we historically ever have. And the same thing goes with our resources, as we've mentioned so far. And as we've shown some statistics, is not only we live in, as it was pointed out in Clint Moore today, is that we live in a time in which we're blessed. We live in the most prosperous country and one of the most prosperous time periods, centuries, that in all of human history. However, based on those statistics we've shown, we're still pressed. We still struggle with finances. We still struggle to get a handle on those things. Why? Right? And so Jesus, he experiences pressing from every side. Everybody wanting a piece of him. Everybody wanting his time. Everybody wanting his resources. But what we see in verse 16 is the better way is that he often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. He often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. In other words, everybody wanted something from him. And he would freely give himself to other people. But what we see in this passage is that Jesus also limited himself as well. He limited his access at times. And we're challenged with that thought. Passages like this, is Jesus, if he had the ability to heal, why wasn't he in the hospitals all the time healing? If he had the ability to feed the hungry, why wasn't he always doing that and doing these miracles where he was feeding those in need? And the answer is, and whether we struggle with this or not, but Jesus lived within healthy boundaries. Is that he took the time to serve, he took the time to give of himself, but he also set boundaries. And he didn't go and help everybody. But of course, he had a different mission, of course, that would. But he took time while he was on this earth to separate himself, to set boundaries, to set limits, so that, right, he could give himself more in the areas he needed to give himself in. He was committed to his mission, what he came to earth to do, which was to redeem all mankind and to show a better way of living. Right? He had a different mission on his mind. And so that required him to limit himself so he could do best at what he could do and that he could maximize his potential as a human on this earth and what he was trying to accomplish. He set boundaries. And those boundaries didn't limit his good that he did, but it actually allowed him to do the very best good he possibly could while on earth. And so Cloud and Townsend of a book on boundaries, they say this. Say, made in the image of God, we were created to take responsibility for certain tasks. Part of taking responsibility or ownership is knowing what is our job and what isn't. Then they continue on to say this. They say, workers who continually take on duties that aren't theirs will eventually burn out. It takes wisdom to know what we should be doing and what we shouldn't. We can't do everything. In other words, we need boundaries. We need to know what is our to do and what isn't ours to do. In the same way, as we think about living, we can't do everything. We also realize as individuals, we can't give everything. As we talk about the idea of giving, we're not talking about emptying out your bank accounts in order for the good of others, because you've got to have these boundaries. You can't. You're not going to solve world hunger today by writing a check. You're not going to be able to meet everybody's needs by writing a check. We can't do everything. And why I introduce this in this series is because I think that's a helpful thought to think about as we think about generosity, is also the importance of boundaries and the importance of discipline in regularly thinking about what we give. And so the importance of boundaries is this, is that boundaries give us margin. And what is margin? As we think about like a piece of paper, a college rule of paper, there would always be that sort of like very, you can't hardly see it with the lighting and all that, but there's that kind of distinct little red line on both sides of the paper. And what that red line does on both sides of the paper is that it designates where the margin is. And what the margin does, the margin helps us see where one line begins and one line ends. It allows us space on the paper to be able to look at it, to be examine it, to edit, to make changes, and all those type of things. Right? If we were to just fill out the paper without any margin, you wouldn't have the room to be able to do any of that. But that's what margin is for. And so as we think about margin in the context of what we're speaking about today, is that boundaries, when we set boundaries, it gives us margin. And it allows us to be able to evaluate. It allows us to give purpose to things. It allows us to think big picture as we think about how we use our time, energy, and resources. And I believe we see Jesus doing that. As instead of giving himself constantly to all people, he would pull back. He would set boundaries. He would give himself margin in both his time, energy, and resources in order to reset and to focus in on the mission that he had to do. Not to stop doing good, but to maximize the good that he was able, to do. And so, as we think about this morning, we need to set healthy boundaries for how we live. We all realize that. We need to do better about that. Boundaries are good. They're not bad. They set us up for margin. They set us up in order to think about our strategies for living as the people of God on this earth. But we also need to set boundaries for how we give. Now, that's probably not the message you thought I was going to bring to you this morning on giving. But we need to set healthy boundaries for how we give as well. And let's speak to that for a moment. What I'm describing to you here is talking about boundaries and how we give our time, energy, and resources, and how we go about that. It's what I'm describing to you is what the Bible calls stewardship. Stewardship. We are all stewards, as we see in the New Testament. We're all stewards of what God has given us. And when we look at this word steward, maybe, okay, that's a word maybe some of your young people may not have heard before, but it's used all over the New Testament. The word steward, as J.I. Packer says, is that a steward is someone whom an owner entrusts with the managing of his assets or of his resources. And so God is the creator of all things. And we believe, as the creator of all things that we have are from him. Every resource, everything that we have comes from God. In one sense, although we work hard, we earn, we realize that ultimately, none of that comes by our own doing, but it's by God's blessing and what he gives us. And so because of that, when we look at our time, energy, and resources, we need to realize that none of that is ours to manage in the sense that we own it. But instead, how we look at time, energy, and resources while on this earth is that all of that is a gift from God. And all of it is ultimately God's. As J.I. Packer continues, he says, the money that is ordinarily thought of as ours remains God's. We receive it from his hand as his stewards and trustees and must learn to manage it for his praise. Or you might say, to manage it for his glory. Right? This is stewardship. This is learning to manage resources, and which, by the way, goes far beyond finances, as we've been saying. It includes the management of our time, energy, and resources, management of the body that we have, management of the families we've been blessed with, management of the congregation, the family of God that we're blessed to be a part of. It's stewardship. It's using our time, energy, and resources well. And we believe we're going to be held accountable for that. As you see parable after parable where we're held accountable for how we steward the resources God gives us. And so God, as we can see, he owns all things. He gives us everything that we have. And so God has his hand in everything. He is to give your life to him as a disciple is to give him your whole life. And that includes all areas of our life. And so what God does, when you become a disciple of Jesus, he transforms everything. And that includes how we view, use, and give finances. And in fact, Paul highlights this in Ephesians 4, verse 28, in which he was dealing with some issues where people wouldn't work and they weren't contributing, they weren't helping others who are in need, and you know, they wouldn't work, they would rely on others to give to them. And what Paul says, he says, anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work. Well, why? Now Paul gives this new purpose to work in light of the cross, in light of Jesus. He says, doing something useful with their own hands, that they might have something to share with those in need. Now that is a totally radically different viewing of work and of earning and of resources. Paul says you work so that you can give and so that you can bless others. And so we ask the question then, okay, we have this different view of resources. We have this different view in the New Testament of how to use resources. So do I give at all? How much should I give? Which is a challenging question that every single person may answer. And again, I go back to, you can't give everything. Why? Well, first of all, you're a steward. You need to take care of yourself. You need to take care of your family. And you need to create balance in your life. But I think Paul actually gets to this in the text that we looked at this morning in our scripture reading. This idea of stewardship, this idea of balance. In 1 Corinthians 16... as Paul, actually, just like we've been looking at in the last couple sermons, he was going around taking up a collection for the church in Jerusalem, who was living in poverty and persecution at the time. And so he's going around to the Greek and the Gentile, which non-Jewish churches, and he was gathering up this collection. And as he talks to the church of Corinth, he says this. He says, on the first day of the week, let everyone, every one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up, so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. And what I see here isn't just a charge to give, but Paul sort of gives a balance to how we want to give. We look at this passage as maybe one of those passages. Maybe you've heard it before, maybe you haven't, but if you have heard it, maybe you saw it as, you know, okay, here's the command to give over here, we go to this passage over here. But I don't think that's what Paul's doing. I think what Paul's doing is something much more healthy, is that he's teaching us to give and to steward our resources in a balanced and healthy way. He doesn't say give it all. He doesn't say go empty your bank account out to solve world hunger. He says give a sum of money in keeping with your income. Because you're a steward. You need to decide how to best use your resources. One, to take care of yourself and your family and the needs of others. But how to do that and to maximize the good that you can. And he says, here's how you do it. You think about it. You give time and attention to it. We looked at 2 Corinthians 9 last week. And it says, purpose in your heart what you ought to give beforehand. And so what he's challenging him is to think about this. Use it wisely rather than all the time in the moment. And you don't know what you've given out, or you don't know what you've spent, you don't know what you've done. And so he says, set aside a sum of money. Another translation's here. He says, set aside some income and save it to the extent that God has blessed you. Right? Give, as other translations would say, give as you've prospered. As God has given to you, right, increase your giving. As God gives you more, increase the amount you give. If you haven't been blessed, then you blessed in the past week, right? He's saying, then give less that week, right? Give to the extent that you've prospered. As he says it in the Amplified Bible, the first day of every week, let each of you is to put something aside in proportion to his prosperity. And what I see in this passage is that we're to give with margin. We don't give it all away at once, right? That wouldn't be good stewardship. But we figure out how do we maximize the resources God has given us for the good of others. And Paul says, in doing so, you need to set something aside in proportion to your prosperity. And so as we think about that for a moment, we realize this idea of stewardship requires discipline. And we've talked about this idea of that giving is a spiritual discipline. It's a discipline that we do regularly and over again in order to help us grow as a disciple. But as I'm using it here, stewardship, management of resources, is something that requires discipline. It requires thought. It requires energy to think about and to plan, to organize. One writer said this, he says, Don Whitney, he says, without discipline, the best intentions to use our time, talent, and treasure for the gospel will be overwhelmed by circumstances and the feelings of the moment, resulting in inconsistency or worse, neglecting to use our resources most effectively for the gospel. And we've all experienced this in one way or another. We intended to reach out to so-and-so, but we didn't really plan it, right? We didn't set the time aside in our schedules to go see so-and-so, and so now we've not seen them. We've not encouraged them. We've not supported them. That's what he's talking about. This, as we think about stewarding our time, energy, and our resources, he's saying it takes discipline. It takes setting aside and thinking. It takes intentionality, right? It doesn't just happen in most cases. Or if it does, it doesn't happen consistently. And so as we move on from what we've talked about this morning, that we need to live and give with margin, with boundaries that create margin, create us the time and energy to be able to intentionally think about our lives, our resources, and how we carry those things out. I want to suggest something very practical here. I want to think about of our schedules and our budgets as spiritual tools. As we think about our schedules as a spiritual tool, we see our schedule as a way in which we budget our time. We give hours purpose. We give days of the week purpose. And we say, I'm going to do this on that day. I'm going to do this at 3 o'clock this week to make sure I go visit so-and-so. It's so important that we learn to budget and balance our time to make sure we're actually giving our resources. If you really want to get into this and balance your schedule, go look at your phone. It's really painful. And you can actually go in the settings and see how much time you spend on your phone and how much time we spend in other areas. All right? It's not fun. And I think Nick has pointed that out to us before. And all of those type of things are pushing us forward and using our schedule as a spiritual tool to make sure we're putting our time and energy in the right places. But our budget can be a spiritual tool as well. As Ramsey Solutions points out, it's hard to know how much you can give, how much you should be setting aside, if you have no idea or no clue where your money is going. And so I was taught this at a very young age. My dad and my mom would set me aside, and they taught me and my sister, right, how to budget, how to look at where your money is going. And this is much more than dollar and cents. It's about purposing the resources God has given you. And everybody does this in a different way. But I just wanted to throw this up there as a very, just in case maybe someone hasn't been trained how to budget, how to think about your resources in a way that stewards it well. And so all you do, and I remember my grandpa, he set me aside when I was graduating college. I was visiting him and my grandma down in Florida, and he sat me down. The way he did this, it was just like a piece of paper. And he'd write it down for the month. He'd write out his budget. He would designate where the dollars are supposed to go. And that's how he carried it out. And so there's a number of ways you could do it. There's apps. There's things that can help you with this. This isn't, believe me, this isn't a money management class. It's a spiritual, looking at this from a spiritual perspective. But a simple budget just looks like this. It looks at looking at your resources and then designating it, right? I'm going to give this much this month. I'm going to this much set aside for housing. Yes, I'm going to set this much apart for fun. Why? Because we're living with margin. We're living in a way that allows us to be fulfilled human beings. And so what this does, it's actually a grace. A budget sounds like a discipline that you don't want to have to do. What it does is at least helps you know where your resources are going. And in that sense, we do what Paul tells us to do, which is to set aside. It's hard to set aside if we don't know where it's going. And then if you really want to go and keep yourself accountable, right, you put what you planned, but then you put the actual in what you actually spent. Now, I'll probably take some flack from somebody. I made somebody uncomfortable because I brought up budgeting. But when we look at that, what I'm showing you is I believe preaching ought to be practical. And what we look at ought to be practical. And what we see Paul telling us to do is much bigger than what you give to your neighbor or what you give to your local church. But it's about stewarding resources well. And there's a lot of good resources out there. I don't agree with everything that this organization says, but Dave Ramsey offers a lot of really good resources, a lot of different podcasts and helpful resources out there to do that. I know we got members of our church who are financial planners who would love to sit down with you and help you with some of those things. But my point is this. Here's the point of today's sermon, is that we need to set healthy boundaries for how we live. We can't give away every second of our day. We've got to take time for ourselves. We've got to take away time for our families. We need to realize that there's a time to lead, there's a time to learn, there's a time to serve, and there's a time to be served, there's a time to grow. And then when it comes to our resources, we need to realize that there's times to give, and then there's times to save. There's times to give, and there's times to spend. Is that our resources aren't, it's not as simple to say, right, we want to give all that we have, right? It gets much more in the details and how we think about giving. And so in this series, as we thought about this idea and what should we give, as we looked at what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 16, we say, well, how much do we designate in order to give? And this is where people get uncomfortable. And this is where we look at what portion we ought to be giving of ourselves. Historically, God's people gave 10%. And that's not a secret. That's what the word tithe. If you've been to a local church that says, here's the tithe, that's what that means. They gave 10%. And so in the New Testament, that number's not designated. And so that's something. As you steward your resources as a Christian, as a disciple of Jesus, you decide that. And so some people that's not achievable based on their income, so they give that less than that. Some people, God has blessed them so much that they give more than that. What you need to do as a disciple of Jesus is decide that boundary. And I'll say this, if I can go back real quick to this. As you set a budget, make sure in your giving it's not just what you give to the local church, but actually, just a little side note, budget what you want to give spontaneously when you have needs. Right? That helps. Is how many times have you wanted to give someone, but you know it's not in your budget? And so budget it. Set it aside and know, okay, this amount is for giving when I come across someone on the street who needs, or this money is for giving when I have a neighbor who has a need, I give. Again, this is all about setting boundaries so that we can have margin so that we can give radically and sacrificially like Jesus did. And so in this series so far, we've said this. We've said giving for some is a spiritual gift. Right, we saw in Romans 12 that it says the Spirit of God gifts people with this gift of giving, generosity. And for some of us, it's also, we need to realize for all of us, it's a spiritual discipline. It's something, even if it's not our gift per se, even if we've not been blessed with just millions in resources, we're still challenged to give because it's a discipline. It helps us grow and it draws us nearer to the Spirit of God. But when we do what we've talked about this morning, we give with boundaries and margin and we give wisely and we steward it well, I believe giving also becomes a spiritual ministry for each of us. As we take what God has given us, we manage it well, we're disciplined as we should be in every area of our life, and I believe when we do so, we're able to do the most good because we've taken time to steward what God has given us. And in that, we experience the gift of giving. Let's pray together. God, you are so good. You've been so gracious to us to give of yourself, to give us life, to give us your Son, to give us your Spirit. And Father, you've blessed us in so many ways with time, energy, and resources, Father, and we want to steward that well. And we realize that that looks different for each one of us as your disciples. And we just pray that you'll empower us through your Spirit to steward wisely, to be able to maximize our time, energy, and resources for the good of others as we are the kingdom of God here on earth, as part of your kingdom. And Father, we pray that you'll just be with us. Give us strength. Give us courage as we strive to do that here at Northeast and as disciples all over the world strive to do the very same thing. We pray that you'll be with us as we continue in our time of praise here in just a moment. We pray that we can praise you for all that you have blessed us with, all that you've given us, and how you continue to be with us each moment. And Father, we love you. We pray this all in your Son's name. Amen.